You'd please take your Bibles now, and we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 12. As we have been studying through the book of Revelation, there are some areas of the Scripture that are somewhat difficult to understand, and this is one of them. And so please that you pray for me as we go through these verses of Scripture today. Revelation chapter 12, as we've been studying each verse of Scripture. And we have enjoyed downstairs, we have looked at some of the dates and the times, and you go back to the time, and it's 4,000 years is the B.C., 6,000 years ago, but 4,000 years before the birth of, before the world started, when the world started. And then you look at the year 3000, we find that to be when the world was destroyed by water with Noah and the flood. And then at the year 2000 is the time that Abraham leaves Ur of Chaldees. And so we got to 1000. That was the homework for this day, was find out what happened at the year 1000. And so we have looked at what took place at the year 1000, and that's David and Solomon and the building of the temple. And then you get to looking at all the works that went on from the year 1000 to 400, which is just 600 years. Look at all the prophets, all the preaching, all the truth, and yet they still didn't see when Jesus was arriving. Same with today. Jesus is coming again. Who is ready? So we're looking at this time here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained in to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time of your precious word. And again, I ask for your strength and for your leadership to pour over these verses. We're just going to get over the first couple of verses today. But please, just guide and lead us and strengthen us as we look through your precious word, finding that and knowing that salvation is of you, given to us. And we just need to come by faith and trust in you for salvation, to be saved, to enjoy the eternal home, and not this time that we're in during this period in the 12th chapter of Revelation. So please guide and lead us now as we look to your precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have time periods that we have enjoyed, and as we have looked at the 4,000, 3,000, 2,000, and 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, then the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know that we celebrate during Christmas, and we're coming up on Easter very soon here, where we'll look at the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. When we look at that time, we know that that was about the year 33, 34 after the birth of the Lord Jesus. He was about to that age. And then we come into the age, the church age, that period of time. And that period is not given a date other than we know from the time that the Israel was set aside all the way till the time the church is raptured. To this day, that has been over 2,000 years. And at the close of that time, then we're going to go into a period of time called a 7-year tribulation. That 7-year tribulation is what we're in the area of Scripture that we're looking at right here and now in Revelation, is that 7 years of tribulation. And it's going to be the closest thing to hell on earth, especially the last 3.5 years. And so we look at that time, and then at the close of this 7 years is when the Lord Jesus comes down, destroys the enemy, and we begin the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years, the 1,000-year millennium. That time clock, that time period is important for us to see, because the Word of God tells us that one day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So let's back up. If we look at 4,000 years, the creation of the world, the creation of Adam and Eve, the beginning of time as we know it, and to all the way to zero, and now we're coming this direction, and we've went 2,000 years. So that's 6,000 years. That's 6 days. We have a 1,000-year millennium coming. So you see, the time of Jesus' arrival, coming back again, has got to be soon. We have been 6,000 years. 6 days of creation, God rested on the seventh. So please, don't miss the time, and don't miss the preaching of the Word of God. Now, we look to these verses of Scripture here. And I don't know from reading down through verse 6 that there is probably even a reason to explain them, because everybody fully understands them and we can just go home, say amen, sing a hymn and go home. Does anybody have any questions about these 6 verses? When's the last time that you saw a woman clothed with the sun? That was her dress. The moon is her shoes. And then she has a crown with 12 stars in it. We did some shopping Penny's up in Rochester when we were there. Had a little time between 2 appointments, and didn't realize what time of the year it is because we're out of that time. It's time to get your prom dress. So you go in the door of any clothing store, and all you see is all these prom dresses. Big, little, all kinds of colors that you can imagine. But not a one of them looked like this. The dress was the sun, was the sun was her dress. The shoes was the moon, and she had a crown with 12 stars. Scripture tells us this, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun. Now, this word great, you're going to find 5 times in this 12th chapter. And when we look at this great wonder, it is something supernatural. And so hopefully that'll help us a little bit. It is a great wonder in heaven. It occurs here up on earth. The great wonder comes in heaven, but what's going to take place is actually something earthly, and we need to understand that. We look at the woman herself, again, is not in heaven, but upon earth. The sign is in heaven. The birth that takes place, that it speaks of here, will take place here upon earth. The woman is clothed with a dress, with being the sun, shoes, the moon, and the crown with 12 stars. She is a mother-to-be. We see that. She is about to give birth. And so besides the facts that we have found here, what's all this mean? This woman so wonderfully clothed, we find to be the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. How do we know that this is the nation of Israel? Well, we can go back to chapter 37 of Genesis, and I would like for you to do that this afternoon. Go back and read chapter 37, and you're going to find where Joseph had his dream. And it was a dream that got him in trouble because his dad didn't like it and his brothers didn't like it, because the dream said that he would rule and reign them. Well, they didn't like Joseph. Remember, Joseph was the one that got the coat of many colors, and Jacob, his dad, loved him more than any of the family members. And so he was hated by his brothers. And it wasn't too long that his brothers took him when he was all alone and caught him and beat him and put him into a pit and then was going to kill him. That's how much they hated him. And then they found someone that was a traitor, and so they sold Joseph into slavery. Joseph ends up down in Egypt, and then through a period of years, there's a famine in the land of Canaan where Jacob and all his brothers live, and they have to come down, and all of a sudden, who do they find but their brother, second in command to Pharaoh, ruling and reigning, and they have to come begging to him for food. So you see, the word of God is true. And so this dream here also speaks of Joseph seeing the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down to him. And so now we have a reference back that helps us look at this scripture verse here. Remember what's happened here. This isn't the church, and the church is not Parkview Bible Church. It is every born-again believer, everyone that has come by faith to Jesus through the time period of when Israel was set aside right after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. From that time, the birth of the church was a time called Pentecost. When that started, now for 2,000 years, everyone that has been saved, born again, is a member of the church. Well, that's going to end when the church is raptured, is taken away. He's going to come. Thessalonians tell us this. He's going to meet us in the air, and we will join him and forever to be with the Lord. Well, that ends the church age. That ends that time. Then we begin this 7 years of tribulation. During the seven-year tribulation is concerning, once again, the nation of Israel. You hear today in the news, I'm afraid to say that we have a government and a president that no longer loves the nation of Israel. And that's to be of great concern, because anyone that blesses Israel is blessed. Anyone that curses Israel will be cursed. If you want to bring this country to an end, we need to go against Israel, and that will be the end of the country as we know it. Remember those words, watch those words. Pray for our leaders that they never forsake the naked nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. It was his first people to come to give the gospel out to reach the world. Instead of that, they kind of brought it all in and didn't share it. Well, we did the same thing. Then he turned it over to the church to win the world for his son, the Lord Jesus, and we have failed. And there's going to be another time, the seven-year tribulation, where he's going to call Israel back home, and once again. So this is the time of the nation of Israel. This is their time during this seven-year tribulation. It'll be a most awful time up on this earth. But we see by this scripture verse of the 37th chapter of Genesis, please read that this afternoon to see, because you're going to see everything about it. And so now, once again, we are seeing this prophetic picture of the nation of Israel. That's what we have right here. Israel is the woman who brought forth the man-child who shall rule with a rod of iron. You'll find that in the fifth verse. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations. It can only be Israel that we're talking about here for several reasons. Number one, Genesis 37. And number two, she's clothed with the sun, Malachi 4:2, but unto you that fear my name shall be the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Israel, the Jews, were the ones that brought forth the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And we look at that fifth verse, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who is that? That's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to not use our opinion. Many people look to this, and they believe that it's the church age. Many believe there has been people in the women in the United States, women in foreign lands, all have established cults, but they believe that they're this woman. They believe that they're this woman. No. This is not during this time. This is during the 7-year tribulation period, specifically the last 3.5 years, and it is the nation of Israel. She is going to bring forth a child, and we know that according to all that we read during Christmas time. Salvation is of the Jews. We find John chapter 4, verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. That is a statement the Lord Jesus himself made to the Samaritan woman at the well. If you look up John chapter 4, you'll find that the lady says, well, we don't worship the same. We worship up in the Mount, you worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus, if you wonder whether he ever condemns another religion, he said, you don't know what you worship. The Jews, we worship in Jerusalem. That was the only place at that time to worship, was in Jerusalem. And so we have, knowing now, again, that this is Israel, we find in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, which who is the father of the Jews, father of Israel, is Abraham. Abraham, his son was Isaac, his son was Jacob, and his name was changed to Israel. All right, so the nation of Israel. Appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. With this woman clothed with the sun, with the moon, with the stars upon her head, it presents not only the nation of Israel, but it presents to us a complete government system. And that's what's taking place here in this tribulation period. And so keep this in mind. It is all centered upon Israel. It's a symbol of Israel. Isaiah tells us that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Well, my friend, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we know him as our Savior, the peace and the joy begins. But when it comes to the nation of Israel, the only time that peace and joy is going to end is when the tribulation period comes to an end. And we need to see that the nation of Israel has a very active part in this end time. That was Isaiah 9:7. The government of our Almighty God will never end, will never end. We need to know Jesus as our Savior. We need to walk with him today. We need to serve him and worship him. And if we do, the first thing is we're not going to be here at this time. I don't want any of you to be here. This time here, and we get into the next section there, appears another wonder in heaven or another miracle or something very supernatural. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. I don't know about you, but I don't want to meet Satan. I don't want to. This crown that the woman has upon her head signifies a dignity, a royal dignity. Why the stars? Why the stars? 12 stars, 12 suns, 12 nations. If you go through and study this, the wonderful Old Testament, well, you'll find there are 12 tribes, and those 12 tribes are always held. And I don't know how, but somehow God has kept track of everything. He has kept track of every one of those tribes. And there's going to be a time when this tribulation period comes, he's going to bring all back together. All you have to do is listen to the news, and you find that they are moving back to Jerusalem. Why are they moving back to Jerusalem? And I use the example many times of why all this commotion? Do you realize all this takes place in Jerusalem? That's where this takes place, in Jerusalem. If you would take a lead pencil, and I should have brought it up, the globe that is downstairs, It's about this large. And if you take a lead pencil, and the end of the lead pencil is the size of the nation of Israel, you tell me why we hear their name and the trouble and the conflict that's in that nation every day. Why? Somebody so small, they have no oil. At least yet. I think they will. But today, they have no oil. So they have nothing that anybody wants. Why does the world hate them? Why does all the enemies surrounding that area hate them? There has been leaders, world leaders, that have tried to annihilate the Jews forever. Why? What's the big deal about these people? If you don't believe that there's a God, all you have to look and see of God's chosen people, because the world hates God and hates his people. There is no other reason. There is no other people. There's never been a people that have been cast from their land. In the year 70, they were thrown out completely. Many years before that, they were taken away from their land, only able to live there, not to own it. But in the year 70, the temple was destroyed and all Jews were scattered around the world. All were scattered. In the year 1948, God gathered those people back up and gave them their land again. What's special about the nation of Israel? No other nation has that ever happened to. If you wonder if you want to believe the Word of God, you just look at the nation of Israel. Tiny little nation. And you watch them. Because no matter how the enemy comes, they are never going to be destroyed. Ever. Ever. You watch them. I hope you become a believer because of this nation of Israel. This number 12 is the 12 tribes. It also, through the scripture, means administration, rule in the hands of men, and that's what's going to come. Israel is earthly, and this all takes place here upon earth. And if you go back all the way to the promises given to Abraham, and that was at the year of 2000 B.C., is when that promise was given to Abraham, that I'm going to make you a nation, and it's going to be a mighty nation, and you can't even count them for the stars in the sky or the sand in the sea. There's going to be so many. And that's coming. And no matter how much this world hates them, no matter how they try to destroy them, they can't. Every promise given to Abraham and since then will be completely fulfilled. Now we find here in this second verse that she is not only the nation of Israel, but she is with child. Being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. She's about to be to deliver. This mother to be again is Israel. Who is the man child that's to be born? I thought Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. What's this talking about? This child we know the devil hates, because look at the fourth verse, the end of the fourth verse. Ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember all the stories that went on the killing of all the male children up to age 2, age 3. Remember all that? Why do you think that was going on? It was going on because we've got to destroy the Messiah. This child has to be destroyed. Who is this child? Again, Scripture compares Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things. We see that this child can be none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that he is to rule with a rod of iron, and he is the only one in the Scripture that speaks of that. So we know it to be the Lord Jesus. Jesus has been the desire, the object of the devil to destroy his hatred ever since Genesis 3:15. That's when God promised there'll be a Savior. It's not just in the New Testament. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and you're going to find the first place that the plan of salvation was given, and the devil has been out to destroy this coming child ever since then. Ever since then. There has been a trail of blood from Genesis 3:15 all the way to the cross of Calvary. And that blood does continue for those that stand for the Lord Jesus. When it comes to the nation of Israel, they have shed their blood ever since that day and that time for one purpose, and that is to rid this world of the Messiah. That was the devil's goal and the devil's plan. But we need to praise our God that Jesus has fulfilled every step and every demand of God the Father. He paid the debt of sin. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He came to this earth. He lived for 33 years. He died. He took upon that death. He took every sin of every individual upon him. And that way, all you and I need to do is come by faith and faith alone to be saved. Jesus conquered death and hell and the grave. He arose. He appeared to men. And then he ascended back to his Father. He is coming again in power and great glory. And I hope that it gives you assurance when we know that Jesus himself will personally put the devil into the lake of fire where he'll spend eternity. The child about to be born is Israel. The mother listed here is the child to be born is Jesus. The mother to be born, the mother to give birth is Israel. Why is it spoken of here? We know 2,000 years ago that the Lord Jesus, you know, we look at Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. From Isaiah 66:7, we see before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. The travailing and the pain for Israel is yet to come. That'll be during this tribulation period. But before that time of travailing, Israel was to bring forth a man-child, and his name was Jesus. He's come forth. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. From the birth to this time of travail, this nation of Israel, as she faces this horrible time, only to be cut short, and thankfully, from the Lord's hand. Why does the Scripture mention the birth and this together? Israel, from the time of the promise of Abraham to the promise of the land of Canaan, to being taken out of that land, all these promises, all the way then finally to the birth of the Lord Jesus through the line of David, through Jesus, through the Jews, through Israel. And now 2,000 years they've been set aside. And you see, it's all about Israel. And so to tie all of it together, I believe God has brought together and reminded them of the wonderful birth of the Lord Jesus and says, he didn't come from the Gentiles. He came from you. Remember? He came from you. Now, during this tribulation period, this awful time that they're going to have to suffer, and that's what it's talking about, the nation of Israel, and during this time of suffering, God needs to bring this whole story back together. You see, when you look through the Word of God, and especially the Old Testament, you miss this church age, the days of the Gentiles. And those days are 2,000 years long so far. And so when we look now at the nation of Israel, he jumps from the birth of the Lord Jesus all the way to this tribulation period, because that's the time that Israel is set aside and Israel comes back. And so he ties it all together right here as we look at the speaking of the birth. Israel is about to go through the most horrible time ever in their history. And I believe Jesus just brings to them a reminder of the promise that he has fulfilled. So if I promise that I'm going to bring forth a son, and I have, do you believe that I am going to fail in my promises to get you through this tribulation period? You see how God works? This is for the nation of Israel. The promises. It's going to be a terrible time. We've looked at the martyrs that are underneath the altar that have died during the tribulation period. Most of them were beheaded because they trusted in Jesus as their Savior. It's going to be the time of the 666, the number, because then you can't buy food, you can't work, you can't do anything without the mark of the beast during this time. All this can be avoided if you just come by faith to Jesus today and not have to face that time. When is Jesus going to come? He could come today. He could come tomorrow. We're in the end of the 6,000 years, and 6 in the scripture stands for man. And so we're at the end of that time. Is it going to be today or tomorrow? I don't know. Will it be in 100 years from now? I don't know. But I know it's soon. And we may face death before we come to that time. And if we do, then this tribulation period is nothing to us, except you'll be in the place of torment awaiting your final judgment place with this red dragon, Satan himself, which is in the place of torment, the lake of fire, that you'll spend eternity. You need to trust in Jesus Christ so that you can be heaven-bound and not hell-bound. Just a couple of minutes here, then we'll close as we look at the third and the fourth verse. I want to just kind of get you ready for next week here. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns and upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The world hates Israel. We're seeing more and more of it. We're seeing less people stand for the nation of Israel and less preachers standing and telling the truth that we need to stand with Israel. Why do you think that our land in such a short period of time of 200 years has been so blessed? It's not because we're so good. It's because we have stood with Israel. This red dragon, the picture we have here it's beyond our imagination. You can look to Revelation 22, Ezekiel 29, 3 and 4, Jeremiah 51, 34, and read of other pictures. But this seems to be the most horrifying of all. And yet for us to get this in our imagination, we can't. Being red, it signifies that he desires blood and murder. And all you have to do is look at the times that we live in today. Look at the games that kids play, videos that kids watch. It's all about blood and gore. Go back to 50 years ago or 40 years ago and you watch a show or a movie, and and someone is killed, there is not the sight of blood. But today, why, it's all about blood and guts and all those things. Why? Because the devil loves it. This world is the devil's. Jesus has taken it over. He's purifying it. He's cleaning it up. And that's what's taken place here during this seven-year tribulation. Judgment after judgment after judgment is coming upon the lost world. And Israel is right smack dab in the middle of it because they ignored Jesus when he came the first time. But he's coming again, and he will give them their victory. This dragon has 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Seven in the scripture is a number of completion. And so we could look to this to be not only a completion, but of power, of strength. The 10 horns, as we look to the scripture, we're going to see that it stands for the 10 kingdoms. Because if you'll start through and look at that vision that Nebuchadnezzar had when he saw the statue, and history has had the fall of Babylon. We have each step as you look through all the way down to Rome was the last, which was the iron legs. And then we have 10, we have the feet, we have 10 toes. We have 10 kingdoms left. Every part of history has been fulfilled except for the 10 toes. And so you see, we have here the 10 horns. That's the future kingdom, the last and final. There'll be a union of these 12 kingdoms to come together. And their purpose, their sole purpose, is to destroy Israel. Just watch. Just listen. Israel, tiny. Size of that globe, it's the size of a lead pencil, is all it is. And yet the world, in all its strength and power, cannot destroy it. Cannot. Whether we're with them or not doesn't matter. God's going to protect them. It's a matter whether we get a blessing or a curse. Don't think that Israel's going to fall if we desert them, because they won't. Even during this most horrible time, and Israel is forced to go through it, because when Jesus come the first time, they missed him. They were looking for a king. That's why. We don't have to, because we've trusted in him. They have to, because they missed him. The only way you can go into the tribulation period is if you miss him now. So please, don't miss Jesus. A woman clothed in the sun, moon for shoes, and a crown with 12 stars. That's what we looked at this morning. I hope it's been clear for you so you understand. We'll continue the study in the third verse, look more at Satan, and then on to verse 4, 5, and 6 next week. So please, study your scripture. Come back prepared. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come today and study your precious word. And I just ask that it come all together for everybody that's here, that they see and understand that it is Israel, and see and understand that it is the Lord Jesus. Get those things together. We'll look at Satan, and we're going to continue through this study. But please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us, and lead us to the cross of Calvary. The devil wants to take everybody with him. And Jesus has come to seek and to save those that are lost. And all we need to do is just ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us. the joy of the baptism this afternoon is not for salvation. It's for our grandchildren to testify that they know Jesus. Because all we need to do is ask Him to come into our heart and save us. So please, dear Lord, speak to all the hearts here today. I thank and praise You for the opportunity to proclaim Your word. And I ask that You took this word and touched every heart with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.